Turn, if you will, to Isaiah 53, as we studied together then again this morning. I don't think we could beat that to read and take our time as we study together concerning the passage. You have a Bible, maybe one right yonder on the table, I believe, back there, if y'all don't have one, you can follow us. Is that one laying there? Go ahead and get it. It'd be interesting to follow. If that isn't a Bible laying there, well, I'm seeing something. The Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, if you're acquainted with the books, turn to the front there and find out where you're located. And it's the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. It is a chapter that portrays the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in point of time, having been prophesied by this Old Testament prophet some 700 years before it took place. It's that detailed analysis that you must remind yourself that God spoke to those Old Testament prophets, like has been said again this morning. Now, before I read, I've said this more times than one, and concerning the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, until we're brought to the place, and few people are ever brought there, that your sin and my sin is what nailed the Savior to the cross, you'll never make that place called heaven. That's all there is to it. We talk about somebody else put him to death, somebody else put him to death. Listen, if this passage before us doesn't plainly teach that it was our transgressions and our iniquities that did that, then I'll quit reading, as well as other places. When we brought the place before, we said, I was guilty. It wasn't a matter that I wasn't there, that I'm not guilty. Those people portrayed the same image that we're made up of there. For example, in the Garden of Eden. You mentioned the Garden of Eden this morning. We were in the loins of Adam. Adam's a representative character. So, well, I would have done different had I been there. No, you wouldn't. Adam represented all mankind as to what we would have done had we been. In fact, we were in the loins of Adam. The Lord Jesus corrected that. The Pharisees said, we decorate the graves out here on Memorial Day, and we say that if we had been there in the days of our fathers, whose graves we decorate, we wouldn't have did kill the prophets. He said, you're a witness against yourself. Your only betrayers, your own conversation betrays you, that you're calling them your parents and your fathers, and you're honoring them. You've done just what they would have done. See, that's the kind of a God we're faced with. That's the presence of God. It would be strange when life's old. We say, well, God's not an austere man. Oh, yes, he is too, brother. More austere than we'll ever portray. It's a serious thing to fall into the hands of not a dead God that you hear from, but a living one, a living God. Now, with those two remarks in mind, let's read together, and I'll read slow, and see if we can pick up some truth. Isaiah 53, the question is asked, who hath believed our report? Or that report is the teaching, the doctrine that you speak about in the New Testament, it's preaching. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And the answer is, the man believes the report to whom the arm of the Lord is revealed. That's what the Apostle Paul quoted again in Romans 10. He plainly says, it went out to all the world, but who believed it? And he goes ahead to tell you, brother, that few people believe it. To whom the arm of the Lord is revealed. Unless God reveals himself to you, you're not going to believe in it. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. Now, this is God the Father speaking here. Jehovah God saying, speaking of himself, he shall grow up before the Father as a plant and as a root out of dry ground. Now, roots don't grow out of dry ground. We're having that kind of trouble right now. This is an unusual growth of the Savior's birth and so on and so forth. You see, out of dry ground. He hath no form, nor comeliness. And when those folk like Herod and Pilate and those folk we hear about put him to death, when they see him, I'm missing it, am I not? And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And there's no beauty in us that he should desire us apart from his own purpose. And it's up to him. If he sees something in us, he'll never desire us. See, he didn't see that. He chose us not because of what we were or what we did or what we didn't do, but before anybody ever did good or evil. He chose Jacob and he rejected Esau. There it is. So it's a matter of him not seeing in us something, but his own purpose and grace is the thing that brings that choice. He is despised and rejected of men. Now, if you didn't get any more of a particularity out of that than this, just the general statement there of man, you say, well, mankind, somebody else rejected. Wait a moment. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not. I want you to notice these pronouns down through here as we go now. Surely he had borne everybody's grief. No, he's borne our grief. The distinction here. Surely he has borne our grief, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Here it is. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You never seen anything any clearer than that as you look at how pointed down to there in Isaiah. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. What put Christ to death is the iniquity of the elect, particularly so, brother. Just driven home over and over again. If God didn't choose you and take your iniquity and your transgressions upon himself and die for those iniquities, you're still in your iniquities. That's how clear it is. People fight this. They say, I don't believe that damnable doctrine, all that stuff. But the Lord was particular with what he did and choose what is called a bride. And that same man who fights that would fight you over the fact that he chooses his bride. It's wrong for God to do such a thing. But I tell you, I chose mine. I didn't let Mom and Daddy and nobody else tell me who I'd live forever with, as it were. A lifetime here. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now listen to me just a moment. This idea said, well, I wasn't too bad. I wasn't a drunkard. I wasn't a harlot. I wasn't a whoremonger. I waited a minute. The only sin that's listed right here is you had your way. I'm going to have my way about this thing. I'm going to turn my way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the sin against humanity is that you had your way about it, didn't you? And just as sure as you get by with having your way, you'll wind your little ball of yarn up in the regions of the damned. You're headed that way. Had God not headed the Apostle Paul off, or me off, or you off, we'd have gone right on the way we were going. He did head us off. He headed these people off. He does that. But you owe all to him. Say, Lord God, if I have my way about it, I'm going to do just like I've always done, do the wrong thing. There's an old song. This is no good, but there's a lot of truth in it. It says, here I go. Here I go down that wrong road again, brother. That's the way you go. How dear it is to me this morning to know that I'm the one that was guilty of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forget about the purpose of God if it rules out the fact that I'm not guilty. But it doesn't do that. God in his purpose so offered a lamb as a sacrifice for the sins of many. And those folk who were included in that many are the very folk who put him to death. Wicked hands. Wicked hands crucified him. And was that sacrifice that forgave them? Had to happen like that. I don't understand life. It's made up of so many mysteries. I don't understand people. I don't understand you folk. And that lets me reflect on the fact you don't understand me. And I don't understand myself. We don't understand. We're made up of the most complex makeup it could be. You don't understand yourself. And you don't understand why you fret yourself. You don't understand why you worry about things. I'm a child of God. You don't understand. You can't figure it out. Why you do things, why you say things. I knew better than that. That's not the way to settle the matter. Brother, I'm going to tell you one thing. You better be clear here. That I understand and know the Lord that dying in my stead because of the fact that I was guilty. He took my place. I've had it in my teeth so many times. People say, well, I wasn't too bad. No, you just had your way about it. You just had your way about it. Your child wants to have his way. And the reason he wants to have his way is because Mama and Daddy happen to be those folk who wanted to have their way. And he's a chip or she's a chip off of the old block. And we're just a chip off of the old Adamic block. Yes, I have my way about it. One more time, the man who has his way about what you call this little span of life is going to wind up in the regions of the damned. For it is a fact that God turns you around and puts you on a way which is called not his way necessarily, but his way. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. He didn't defend himself. To defend his people. You remember when they came out with swords and staves? Some of you brought that here a while back. Said, you come out here with me, come out here for me with lanterns and staves and swords and so on and so forth. Said, well, I thought among you folk, the temple said nobody sought me out. And he said, if you see, they say, we seek Jesus now. He said, if you seek me, let these go their way. You can't take me and them both. Now, that's substitution. He pointed those folk along to him. He said, if you seek me, I'm not running from you. Yes, I'm he. If you seek me, let these go their way. Their way. And that happened to be the way that they were on at that time. It was a person who belonged to him. Said, you know, can't take them. Me too. I like that. He was taken from prison, from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? It's a great study here. He's talking about this generations and races and on and ago, so on and so forth. The scripture speaks of two seeds. You could read that. He shall declare his seed. A young Jew at the age of 37 hung on a Roman gibbet out here and put to death and no children. No seed. Now who's going to declare his generation? These folk here that are guilty. We're declaring his generation. Here we are, just a handful of people. That's the silliest thing on earth if you don't go by faith this morning. A little handful of people meeting here together like that. Why don't you join the ranks down here somewhere? Because the ranks are wrong. They won't listen to the truth. I mean that. You're hearing the truth. He was taken from prison, from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? His people. His people. One generation declares to another. That's the way the scripture teaches us. And for he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people. Who's saying that? This God the Father claiming us here. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And that people is the people that he gave the Son. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence. Neither than his seed found in his mouth. Why? No reason given. Innocent. Not guilty. That's what we found some time back. He tried in the ecclesiastical courts, in the civil courts of the land, said, find no fault in him. Man's innocent. Why was he put to death then? Put to death for your iniquities, your transgressions, and mine, in the purpose of God. And we were guilty. Had we not been guilty, brother, the sacrifice wouldn't have been worth a dime. It isn't good for a man who's not guilty. Isn't but one way under heaven to get peace and satisfaction and get relief and get pardoned, and that is say, I'm guilty. Man, sit there and argue, I'm not guilty, I'm not guilty, I'm not guilty. Your honor, judge, guilty as charged, and that's your mercy. That's the way to get pardoned. You ever heard tell of a man pardoned, the governor pardoned somebody who wasn't guilty? Why was he up there? But many men have been put to the gallows or the electric chair swearing he wasn't guilty. Is that right? Yes, sir. Guilty. Only the guilty are forgiven. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now he go die. Son of God going to die on Calvary's cross. And we're reading here that he go prolong his days. How's he go prolong his days? With a generation called a generation that shall serve him. We're prolonging his days. We're the body of Christ today, as it were. He's gone on to glory and prepared a way in the opening ceremony for us to follow. But we are those people today who declare him. Who declare that generation? Who declare him? A generation shall serve him. His people shall serve him. We're the children of the King. He shall see the travail of his soul, verse 11, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Who are those many? Look at it. For he shall bear their iniquities. Bear the iniquities of who? The many. The many and the folk he bear the iniquities of are one and the same person here. Therefore will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and just grinding this in. And he was numbered with the transgressors. Unless you're numbered with Jesus Christ, I know we say he buried in a borrowed tomb and he lived this way and that way, but listen, he's numbered with the transgressors. He is one of those sheep. He numbered himself with the transgressors, therefore he identified himself with us and he died in our stead. He is numbered with the transgressors and he bare the sin of many. Here it is interchanged again. The many and the transgressors are one and made intercession for the transgressors. Did you ever get any more out of reading Isaiah? He did that time. I didn't. When I read it and looked at it like this. Now I want to jump from the book of Isaiah and look at something in the New Testament. So if you will, just turn over to John, the 15th chapter. And the time will go by here, and I won't hold you because we hope to get back this evening, at least some of us here. John chapter 15, the great dissertation on the vine and the branches. Now, that's just Isaiah again, if there ever was such a thing. Vital union with Jesus Christ, if you want to read it that way. But I don't want to read that whole chapter. I've read this passage in Isaiah now, and I think that is really comforting to read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah as to identifying ourselves, and he identifies himself with us. But in this chapter, 27 verses of this chapter. In verse 25, I'll read in your hearing. He said something ahead of there. I always back up and read, for this is fitting and proper. You should read the whole chapter. He says, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did. That's what you were magnifying again this morning here. When John asked, he said, go ask him, said, is this the Christ or do we look for another? He said, you could go tell John that certain works are coming to pass, and they're typical of the workings that continue on. Verse 24 then, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. What a statement. Verse 25. Why? But this cometh to pass for a purpose, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without cause. They hated me without cause. Now, if you're going to look again, you're going to ignore what I've read. If you're going to get by with saying they hated me without cause. Now, Herod hated me without any cause, and Pilate hated me without any cause, and the Pharisees and the publicans and the scribes and those folk in their official capacity hated me without cause. Wait just a moment. Wait just a moment. The folk that he spoke of in Isaiah, we, our, they, many, and so on and so forth, are the ones who hate him without cause. Now that word without cause is a very interesting word right here, for it is a Greek word, dorian. And it is spoken of in other places, or used in other places, that would give us a little light on the subject here as to how we hated him. Well, I never did hate God. Well, that's another lie you didn't have to tell. That adds to the list. That's the best way to tell a person. Well, I never did hate God. No, you just lied again. People don't want to acknowledge that. So, well, I don't hate anybody. I love everybody. No, that's not so. You love self. You're born loving self. In love with self, not in love with God. But in the Gospel according to Matthew, that word is used again. So turn back, if you will, to the 10th chapter of Matthew and the 8th verse of that chapter. Freely is the word. Freely. He's hated me freely. You have trouble. Are there people that you don't have any trouble liking? And other people you'd have trouble liking? In this life, if you're not the unusual. These people that I try my best to like, I can't like them. And I don't get any love lost, because other people don't have any trouble liking. If you just lavish your affection on them. And they, in turn, somebody said that was a chemistry or something. That kind of, like a good way to excuse sin, I guess. You know, if you just love folk who love you, said, what reward have you? So how about those who hate you? Now, I know you're not in love with everybody. White, just like you are your own. I'm not using that kind of language. I'm saying, though, that freely give, freely experience giving. Now watch this verse of Scripture right here. This is what the Lord said. That verse of Scripture said, they hated me without cause. And that word cause is freely. Just as free. How could God ordain the death of His Son at the same time wicked hand freely put Him to death? Well, that's what He said happened. I don't know. I'm not interested too much in how it all happened. I want to know who's guilty. So here's the verse in the eighth verse of that chapter, the 10th chapter of Matthew. He gives some instructions there. He sent the 12 out there and commanded them, say, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any of the cities of Samaritans, enter ye not. But he went that way. I wonder why he'd tell you to do something he didn't do, because he's sovereign. He does as he pleases. With whom he pleases, nobody can stay his hand and say, how come you to do that? You don't ask God questions. You don't question his way. And he says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Listen to this. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Did you know I'm reading the same word? If I was reading the Greek, I'd say, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Dorian, have you received? Dorian, give. That means without cause have you received. You no cause for you receiving goodness, good at the hands of God, and there's no reason for you to not give freely. That's what that said. Look at it. What a verse of Scripture. That'd knock any theologian off his feet just to think. So, well, that sure stops me in my track. I'm not that free as I live. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Romans 3:24. Let's get another word. I wanted to comment on this before I go further as to they hated me without cause. I want to give you three or four reasons why they hated him and why they hate you. He said they hated you there because they hate me. He said that the servant's no better than his Lord. We've heard some messages on that servitude, that you're bond slaves, that you're bond slaves because you're liberated. That's the contradiction of time, but so anyhow. And you want that master and none other. So in this third chapter of Romans, and verse 24 of that chapter. Now watch this again this morning. It's hard for me to take my time. I'm censured lots of times, and I accept that. I think fast and speak fast. I don't say what I'm thinking. I lose my train of thought. So excuse me as I get ahead of you. We'll come back to it. Just raise your hand and say, let's run at it. I remember teaching a Bible class once and said, a man dead now. I don't know whether he got anything or not. But he has a big shot out of one of the big churches there, and somebody invited him to come. He came. I was preaching one night, and it's rather clear what I was saying, you know, and he raised his hand. He said, he had a tape, he used a tape recorder. He said, run that through again. I'll never forget that. Run that through again. We ran many statements through again, over and over and over again. Millionaire. Had plenty of money, but no peace, no satisfaction. I'd run it through again. Listen to this right here. How were you justified? Well, I just called up God one time and told him, and I think it'd be nice for him to come my way and do things for me that nobody else had done for me. Didn't tell him you couldn't do them for yourself, you know. No, you didn't call up anybody. He took the initiative. And he freely forgave you. Without cause. Here's the word again. It's three times it's used, only three times. The word cause is used other places in the Scripture, but it's not used in this sense at all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. Being justified freely, without cause, just as freely as you hated the God of all grace, He freely justified you. That's pretty free, isn't it? Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that Isaiah speaks of. The redemption is in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're saved this morning, God didn't owe you a thing. He takes all the glory so you can't brag about That's what he does. He takes all the glory so you can't brag about it. And if somebody said, well, I think God made some mistakes, then you don't have to worry about it. That's pretty good, you think of it. Well, I think that God made a mistake. He did. That's all right. That's his mistake. So he takes all the glory so you won't brag about it. And then if there's any mistakes to be made, he makes them. He doesn't make them. He can't do anything but right. So there's no danger in doing wrong. So much for that. They hate him without cause. I wonder why they hate him. Well, for the sake of time, I'll do something, and Brother Lane gone, and homiletics, you know, doesn't strike with me too well because I get hung up on the alphabet, and I can't get the message. So I'm not against that. That's good. People follow you through by saying D means devil, or DD means doctor, divinity. You don't want to make any difference. It don't make any difference to me if I just follow the thought through. But I'm going to give you three reasons right quick here in the next 19 minutes, Lord willing, or less. I want to give you three reasons and give you at least some of the reasons that will satisfy you and me, too, why they hated him. And they hated him without cause. There wasn't no reason for them hating him. Well, I'm going to reason them backwards for a moment right here and then give you the last one as being not the least but the greatest. They hated him because of the deity. You know what I mean, don't you? They hated him because he didn't just say that he was God. He was God. But they said, you said so-and-so. They hated him. They wanted to kill him over the fact that his deity, that he was God. He was God in flesh. They hated him because of his doctrine. He said so-and-so. You remember? He said, this temple, he said, you know, he was built 46 years. He said, 3 days, he'd raise it up again, you know. And that's because his doctrine. That's just one little thing. I'm going to bring it into the surface here. And they hated him because of his deeds. This man has done nothing amiss. That's what Herod's wife, I guess, Pilate's wife said. He said, this man has done nothing amiss. So be careful what you say and what you do right here. But they said, they accused him of all kinds of things. And look what he's done. They broke the Sabbath. Let's look at some of those things for just a moment. Let's start now with his deed and wind up with his deity, for it was his deity was the problem. It was his deity was the problem. When they said, when the trial was over, they said, find no fault in him. Well, why go put him together? Said he guilty of blasphemy because he said he made himself God. Well, in the New Testament, turn to Luke, if you will, and let the 5th chapter for just a moment. I'll just give you one or two on account of the several before me here in my mind as to they hated his deeds and hated what he had to say, his doctrine, his teaching, and they hated him because he was God. If it had been some politician like Caesar, they could have said, we have no God but Caesar. We have no ruler but Caesar. We have no king but Caesar. But they found out long since different. They long since found out different. Those folk have gone on at old earthly tabernacle that they tabernacled in, left the scene, and their name went off of the signboards and billboards and political schemes and so on and so forth, and they found out he was God, not Caesar. And we'll do the same thing, children. All right, let's see what took place here. He healed a paralytic, I believe he did here. Verse 17 of the 5th chapter of the book of Luke. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man brought in on that bed, of course, a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find that way that they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling, through the ceiling, through the roof, with his couch, and finds himself in the presence of Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, not to them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, I'm not dealing with that text. I'm dealing with something else here. And the scribes and the Pharisees begin to reason, say, who is this which speaketh blasphemy? Now, why did they say spoke blasphemy? Because he made himself God. They said, no way that God can forgive sins. And this man, thy sin be forgiven thee. He's something else comes into the picture right here. You want to know, too. Who can forgive sin but God alone? Now, I'm using this as one of the deeds that he did. But I also said that back of the deeds that he did, the complaint was that he's deifying himself. He's making himself God. Well, he didn't make himself God. He was God. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your heart? And he came at them from a different angle. Look at this. Whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. Now, one of the brethren not here today said to me a couple of Sundays ago, and somebody was preaching on this, I believe brought it into focus, and I said, why did the man not walk? And the brother said, well, he was crippled, that he had palsy. I said, I understand that to be the disease that he had, but why did he not walk? And the answer is, brother, his sins were not forgiven. Look at it. Whether is easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. Say what you may, this man had sins that were not forgiven, and he couldn't walk because of that reason. Now, I'm not saying that's the case necessarily through the Word of God, not the direct case at least. But indirectly, sins affect people. And they affect you in the physical realm as well as the spiritual realm. And this man's sins were not forgiven, therefore he couldn't walk. I know, you all heard me preach along this line, that the blind man in John 9, for example, said, what is the cause of this man's blindness? Did his father and mother sinned? Or he said, no, none of that's true, he said. But that the works of God might be manifest, that God might be glorified in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doing what? Making him well. Now you watch the scripture, brother. That man who is sick and stays sick, and the Lord Jesus Christ didn't do anything for, you don't hear that kind of language. It's the man who was ill, sick, infirmity, or whatever had a hold of him, and God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ made him well. So here's a man who says, I'm down, and my reason for being down is I'm crippled, but the Son of God says his sins are not forgiven. I forgive his sins, and he walks. So, well, it doesn't mean that. Well, if it doesn't mean that, what does it mean? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise, pick up thy couch, and go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And now, why was the sickness? That God might be glorified. It just answers the whole question, but I've answered several before I got there. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Strange things. I'm talking about his deeds, and we give you that one to hold on to. Strange things today. Turn over to the 13th chapter of Luke. That's all it says. We've seen strange things. They hate him because of seeing his deeds. And you know why? He said on one occasion, he said, in secret have I said nothing. And that's a pretty good statement. He said, in secret have I said nothing. And then he said, men love darkness and hate light because their deeds of are evil. They like secret systems, you see. Now, this passage of Scripture that I give you here, again, will help us, and we'll move on. 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and verse 10 of that chapter. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed or bowed together. I bet she'd tell you it didn't make a whole lot of difference. And could no wise lift up herself. That's what she'd measure on. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto him, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Now this, you get into trouble sometimes. I said, that faith that's made thee whole, and think that faith is the gift of God to everybody. And no question right here, wasn't the woman seeing him, is he seeing her? He took the initiative here. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler said something. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Oh, brother, he ought about that. Because that Jesus is healed on the Sabbath day. And he said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Is all sickness because of Satan binding people? We just read where sickness was to the glory of God. I'd say all healings are to the glory of God. As you get in trouble here about what causes sickness, not all reason given in respect the same dimension. It says Satan bound this woman. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. That's a good word you used this morning. Ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. What are they complaining about? They're complaining about his deeds. And this time, the deed that he did, it was a good deed he did, but he did it on the wrong day. You know, there's a danger of doing the right thing at the wrong time or the wrong thing at the right time. And they were playing with that particular game right there to say his deed. Look what he did. I wonder what the trouble was. If I go further with you, I'm not going further in that dimension, but you know the scripture jammed with those occasions, just like I just read. Said, no, it wasn't because he healed somebody. It was because of the fact that he made himself God. Nobody but God has a right to say your sins are forgiven. You see? Back behind us, let's back up just a little bit and get another one here. His doctrine. I guess no better place to turn to there in Matthew 27. The closing portion of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also the closing portion of the life of some other folk around there. And of interest, we find there's two thieves there in the 27th chapter of Matthew. And verse 44. 43 possibly, and 44 to be helpful here to us. Verse 41. Now, this really gives us more light on what I was reading in Isaiah 53 here as to we. Verse 41. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said. Well, that's not hard to take. We say, look what the religious crowd did. Wait just a moment before you censure somebody else. He saved others. Himself he cannot say. Well, they told the truth. That's exactly right. If he saved himself, he couldn't save others. He, as I said a few moments ago, he saved us, he had to die. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Well, you didn't believe because he came down from the cross. You believed because he remained on the cross and was taken down from the cross and was resurrected, put in a grave. See? He's not coming down, he's going up. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Here it is. That's the problem. He did. I am the Son of God. Now watch it, child of God. Here's one of them. You go identify yourself with one of these thieves. Two thieves were crucified beside him. One of them, in the closing minutes of his life, saw what we call deathbed repentance to be true, brother. He was transported into the glory realm by the forgiving work of the Son of God. The thieves also, didn't say one of them, but the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now forget about one of those thieves. We just want to get hold of one of them. You know yourself that if you read further, you'll find out that one of those thieves, after casting the same thing in his teeth that the scribes and the Pharisees and everybody else did, later on, brother, asked to be remembered when thou comest into thy kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ took him by surprise and said, I'll remember you when I get there.
But he does as he always does. He took him by surprise and let him know he is already there. He said, today shall thou, thou shalt be with me in paradise. The man died happy. You see? It's all over one thing, though. They complained about his deeds. They complained about his doctrine. They said, no man ever spake like this man. So that's why we didn't take him. But they complained about his deity. Let's get one or two here along the line of what we're talking about. Move on to the Gospel of John there for a little bit. He has much to say about his deity. John chapter 5 will be a place we can slow down for just a moment right here and read that 18th verse. And then we'll have to back up because you're again here, I think, in that. Okay, Jesus said in verse 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. We're identified with one another in such a union that I do nothing, I say nothing that my Father has not ordered me to say and to do. For this reason, the Jews sought that they sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, I believe I was right a few moments ago, I think I'm on the right track, because he not only broken the Sabbath, but said, watch it now, not because of his deeds, not because of what he said, but because of what who he actually was. He was God, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. I'm going to close here just a moment. If you'll study the Word of God, you'll find out that there wasn't no division among them, no argument about the thing when they said, oh, this is a great prophet. Nobody fussed about that. He was a great prophet, but he is more than a prophet. Oh, yes, Nicodemus speaking to the Lord said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. He was a teacher come from God. But he's more than a teacher come from God. He was God come to teach his people. And as long as you play with those sidelines and bypass metaphors, you're okay. But the moment they attempted to say, this man saying that he's equal with God, he wasn't saying he's equal with God. It wasn't what he said. It wasn't what he did. It was, who was he? And the battleground of the Old Testament and the entire New Testament was not what he could do. It wasn't what he said. It was, who is this man? Until you come to know who he is, there's no saving faith. Though it be exercised over and over and over again as such. They said, yeah, we believe in Jesus, and when he comes, we believe in this man when the Messiah comes. See, the Samaritan woman even said that until God revealed himself to her. But now, so yeah, we believe in Jesus. When the Messiah comes, he'll do greater miracles than this. Didn't know who he was. Did you know that I'm standing here this morning ready for an accusing finger to be pointed to me as the world of religionists do so, to tell you that the vast majority of religionists have made profession of faith in a Christ that does not exist. They're looking for one to return who's the Antichrist instead of Christ. They've missed the whole boat. They would accept anything today, the morals, the immorals, the anything else that's added to our generation. If the religious crowd accepted the first go-round, isn't this wonderful that we can come together at the expense of truth? And they do not know who Jesus is. All you've got to do is open your Bible and begin to get some of the credentials, he said, and they'll fight you like a lion. This thing you mentioned this morning. One more. One of those controversial subject matters that took place with Jesus and the Jews in John 8. Let's not miss that and look at two or three things right here for just a moment. There'll be two scriptures and I'll close. In John chapter 8 and verse 41. Boy, did he lay it on the line, this crowd. He said, sure I do deeds. Yeah, I'm guilty of doing, if you want to use guilt right here, I do deeds. I do the deeds of my Father. And the reason that you don't accept the deeds of my Father is, I'm not your Father. How plain is that? Said, you do the deeds of your Father. Oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe that the two kinds of people in this world, and one of them gets saved because God set out to save him, and the other one gets saved because he wanted his own way, and God let him have his way. Well, you'll learn when life's over with, and wake up in the regions of the damned. Is that so? Nobody gets saved because of any reason at all, except that God saves him. And there'd be nobody in heaven that could have missed that place. Can you let that soak in? There'll be nobody in heaven who could have missed heaven, for God set out to save a people in his absolute
way of doing things that go be there. And there's no man can miss hell. Who's there?
Is that good enough theology?
There's no man can kick man in hell. A rich man in hell, there wasn't no possible way for him to miss that awful place. He even talked about his brothers missing this place. And the Son of God said, listen, no more miracles added to the revelation of God. If somebody would rise from the dead that didn't listen to the one I'm preaching about this morning, he rose from the dead and they hated him worse. There are only two places to go. And if you go to heaven, you're going to have to blame God for it. If you want to, and if you go to hell, go blame yourself for it. Most people are going to wake up in the regions of the damned, say that poor, stumbling, two before preacher that I heard told the truth. I'm here because of the fact that I did not listen. Didn't have a listening ear. 8:41. You do the deeds of your father, then said they unto him, we are not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. He just told him, said, you do the deeds of your father, I do the deeds of my father. In the 10th chapter of John, and this verse will close, 10:33. He tells them his credentials comes from his Father. My Father, which gave me them, is greater. That's the people. And no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. They hated it because they weren't anything. And then the Jews took up stones and began to stone him. I'm talking about salvation here. They weren't in that right hand. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you of my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and the cause of thou being a man, makest thyself God. They hated his deity. They hate his deity above everything else. And in so doing, they get in. I don't like the way he talks. I don't like the way people speak of you like that. I don't like the way the man talks. And I don't like the way the man looks. No, they don't like you because you just is. That's it. Hated him without cause. And he loved us just as freely. Let's stand. Don't forget the evening service coming back again. Brother Lane will be back and he'll bring the particular service. It's good to be here. You're dismissed.